What's the fruit of the Holy Spirit when He's transformed us by the renewing of our minds? He said that we might be able to prove, to discern, test, and approve of the will of God. What is the will of God? He's been showing us this, and each of these things He's been telling us in Romans 12. And today we come to verse 13, and He says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. It's our Heavenly Father's will for those that He's called out of darkness and sanctified to provide for the needs of other brethren that He has sanctified. This is for the saints. It's to provide for their carnal, temporal needs. That's what He's talking about. In other scriptures, it's called communicating to the saints. Distributing to the saints. Also, it's God's will that we be given to hospitality. The Greek means pursue love for strangers. Pursue love towards strangers. Not only are we to provide for our brethren in our midst here who we know, but also for brethren that we may not know who are traveling through, or maybe they've come in for a conference. We're to be given to open our homes, to provide them a place to stay, and to provide them food, or if they would rather, provide them lodging in a hotel and cover their expenses. Given to this, pursuing opportunities to do this. Our Lord Jesus said it is more blessed, more happiness for us to give rather than to receive. If you want to be happy, do for God's people. Do what you can for God's people. Now, brethren, God has been very gracious here to you so that this is not a problem at all. In fact, I've been very, very encouraged to see how much this congregation has helped other churches and other individual brethren and our brethren here. It's really remarkable when you look at the report to see how much you've done this year for others. And I'm so thankful for that. I can't tell you how that encourages me. Paul called it fruit that may abound to your account. It is fruit, and it abounds to your account. God is not unrighteous to forget His people's works and what they've done for other saints, providing for the necessity of saints. He says He's well pleased with such sacrifices. And I'm so thankful for what I'm thankful to God because He gave you the grace to do it, and I'm thankful to you for doing it. I really am. But in other places, I have encountered some who don't like preaching on giving. About 20 years ago, I was brand new to preaching, and there was a brother at my home, and he was doing some work. He was helping do some things, and I'd been studying in 2 Corinthians 8 and just seeing all the good things that God says in this ministry of giving and how His grace abounds toward us and how it's all of Him. And I was blessed by it, and I was just telling him some of the things I'd been seeing, and he packed up and went home. He packed up his tools and left and went home. And that's the first time I'd ever experienced that. And he told me that he had left the former church he was in because the preacher preached on giving. And I don't understand that. I really don't understand that for believers. I really don't. Because our whole gospel is on the message of giving. I stand here every time I stand here, I preach on giving. That's my message. I preach on it every time I'm here. Our gospel is the gospel of distribution, the gospel of how Christ
God gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is our gospel. So my subject this morning is the gospel of distribution. And the way we're motivated and the way we're constrained to this is beholding what God has given to us, how He has distributed to us, how our God has given to hospitality toward His people. And so that'll be our first point. We'll look at how God's given to us. And then secondly, we'll look at this exhortation to us. Now, first of all, the gospel is the good news of how God distributes to the needs, to the necessities of His sanctified people. This is our gospel. This is what we preach. This is the good news. As we come into this world, God's people have a necessity in everything. We have a need in everything. We came into this world, we were the infant cast out into that open field. That's how we're described, as that infant that was just cast out and left for dead. Look at Ezekiel 16. Verse 4. Let's read verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. This is what is being pictured here, our abomination. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother a Hittite. We're, in Scripture, that's considered an illegitimate child. That's what we were. As for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. Nobody did it. We couldn't do it for ourselves. We were as helpless as a newborn. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And look at this. And when I passed by thee. Thank God for grace. He passed by His people. And I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Look down at verse 8. He says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. It was love. It was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee. Christ covered us in His righteousness, and I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. See how He distributed to us? Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Jesus, verse 30, Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. That was us. We fell among thieves. They robbed us. They stripped us of all our raiment and left us in a ditch. And just left us. And look what he says here. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. There we were cast out, and self-righteous religion saw us, and it didn't help us, passed us by. He says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked down and passed by the other side. The law couldn't do anything for us. The law passed us by and just left us in our state. But a certain Samaritan, they called Christ a Samaritan. They called him of Samaria. He's the one, the certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came where he was. Christ came where we were. And he saw him, and he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds. Christ came to us and bound up our wounds, poured in the oil of the Holy Spirit and the wine of his blood, that precious balm, and he set him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn. He brought you to this inn right here. And he took care of him. Christ is taking care of us. And look at this. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest for, when I come again, I will repay thee. Christ is, he's brought us, healed us, and continues to care for us, and he'll care for us all our days. This is how he's distributed to us. To us. Sin bankrupted us. Sin left us orphans and widows. In the scripture, orphans and widows are the most helpless. An orphan is somebody who has nobody. In scripture, he has nobody. He didn't have brothers, sisters, father, mother, nobody to care for him. And the widow's the same. In the scripture, the widow's somebody who has no children, no near kinsmen, nobody. Called widows, indeed, they're widows, and they're helpless. And the picture there is of you and me who are totally, thoroughly helpless. Totally helpless. And no eye pitied us. Nobody had compassion on us. They stole our clothes. We lost all in the fall. We lost everything. They stole our, took our bread. We had no life, nothing to eat. Burned down our house. We had no place for shelter, no refuge. Spiritually, we were in abject poverty. We didn't even have basic needs. But God distributed to the needs of his people. He gave his only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus distributed to the needs of his people. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians 8 in a moment, but just look at this one verse here. Look at verse 9. This is what I was being so blessed by that day when I was showing this to that fellow. Look at here, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You know, it's one thing to be born into poverty and never know the difference. It's another thing to be rich and then come into poverty. Our Lord Jesus Christ was rich. He was rich. But for the sake of his people, he willingly, came to this world and gave all he had and became poorer than anyone. Totally poor. He did that and took joyfully the spoiling of his goods for the sake of his poor people. How rich was he? This is he that created all things. This is he of whom scripture says cattle on 1,000 hills are his. He owns the hills, he owns the cattle, he owns the gold and silver in the hills. He owns everything. All souls are mine, he said. He owns everything. Our Lord, one day, I can just picture him sitting there. And he watched a bird fly into its nest. And he saw a fox, watched it go into its den. He said, the birds have nests, the foxes have dens, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Never owned a piece of ground. He didn't even own his burial plot. He didn't even own the place where they buried him. He became poor. He became totally poor. You see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is he who cures the souls of men. But to do that, here he is in soul agony, sweating great drops of blood. And I don't know what was taking place there, I don't know what all was happening there, but I know Scripture says he strove against sin unto blood. And I'm sure he was being tempted by the devil, but he prayed to the Father. That was his only place of refuge, was the Father. There he is, sweating great drops of blood. This one became a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The one who was the joy of heaven became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was stripped naked. He was crowned with thorns, and he was mocked, and he was nailed to the cursed tree. And this one who knew the joy of his Father, because he was bearing the sin of his people, he was rejected, forsaken of the Father in perfect wrath and justice. So that he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's poor. That's poor. He was to bear the justice his people, that God demanded of his people. He was to justify his guilty people. It was for our sakes that we may be made rich. As he distributed to our necessities, as he distributed to our need, as he pursued hospitality and brought us home, has he done that? We were dead in sins. Dead in sins. He gave us life. Sent the gospel to us, the incorruptible seed, and sent the Holy Spirit to us, and he gave us life. What kind of price can you put on life? Spiritual life. Life from the dead. We were guilty. He gave us righteousness. He distributed to us righteousness, free. Free, because it cost him everything. We were unholy. He gave us a pure heart. Pure heart. He made it so we can come in to the presence of holy God right now in prayer. We were without God, without hope in the world, without Christ. And he brought us to his house. He adopted us. He made God to be our Father. And he brought us into his house amongst our brethren. And he gave us a multitude of sisters and brothers and fathers and mothers. He gave this to us. Given to hospitality. Believer, you have in your possession right now. You and I have in our possession right now things far more valuable than gold and silver. Far more valuable than money. Far more valuable than any temporal thing in this world. We have that in our possession. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Some believer might say, well, have you seen my temporal condition? I'm not rich. Well, William Huntington said, believers have a handbasket portion. A handbasket portion. He said, you take a rich father, his bride's getting married, or his daughter's getting married, and he gives her a large sum of money and or some big extravagant gift and gives it to her all at once. You take a poor father and he doesn't have that to give that way. He says, I'll send you a hand basket every day with a little flower in it. I'll send you some cloth, make you some dresses. I'll send you some necessities to you every day. That girl ends up receiving more than the other because her father provides her needs every day from then on. Every day. God gives us a handbasket portion. Grace for today. Look at Matthew 6. Verse 24. He says, "No man can serve two masters." Our God knows this. He knows this about His people. It's impossible to serve two masters. Can't do it. He says there, he'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Here's what he means. You can't serve God and the world. You can't serve God and the world. You just can't. Somebody's going to suffer. Either you're not going to give Christ the time that you ought to give Him, you're going to give it to the world, or you're going to give Christ the time you should give Him and not give as much to the world. But you can't do both. You can't do both. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" Is there not more to life than just living to pursue temporal things? Is there not more to life than that? He's teaching His people to be content with such things as we have. And not to be ambitious for this world. Not to try to... I remember when I left from home and went to Nashville. And I was going to pursue a job that was going to require everything of me. And I can remember when I left, my grandfather said, "Be careful. You will be in the fast lane before you know you're in the fast lane." Oh, no, 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 no. That won't happen to me. I won't be deceived. He was right. He was right. I found myself trying to hear the gospel preached, and I couldn't hear it. I found myself, my mind, while I'm trying to hear the gospel, my mind was on my work. It was consuming me. It was taking me away like a riptide just pulls you down the shoreline. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it. This is what our Lord's telling us right here. You can't serve God and the world. But He says to us, take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about what you're going to eat and drink. Remember what we saw Thursday night? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? Look here. He says, "Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought, which of you by worrying and being anxious and troubled over what's going to happen tomorrow, can add one cubit to his stature?" We can't add 1 second to our life. We can't promote ourselves in this world. We can't climb the ladder just of ourselves. We can't add any honor to ourselves just of ourselves. We can't do that. So why what's all the worry and anxious and being so burdened with the cares of this world? Why take you thought to raiment? If you can't do that, why take you thought for what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't They toil not, neither do they spin. They're not out there worried, troubled, and anxious. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see what the Lord's doing here? He's teaching us why we don't have to be troubled and worried and so that we don't serve the world. He's teaching us this so that we don't feel like so much is on our shoulders that we have to sell ourselves for nothing. He says this, therefore, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all those things, the world seeks. That's what he's saying. Unregenerate, heathen, that's what they're seeking after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But now watch. Seek ye first. Seek ye preeminently at all times, every day, all the time. Seek ye preeminently the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's Christ and His righteousness. Seek Him preeminently. And all of these shall be added to you. God will give you, He'll meet your needs. He'll meet your needs. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow take thought for the things of itself. There's enough evil today. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. But God's going to provide. He gives, He distributes to the necessities of His people. Day by day, basket portion. He gives us everything we need day by day. Egypt had those granaries full, and boy, they really thought they were safe. Well, they were much more safer when they were out there in that wilderness without any granaries, without any fields to plant in, and God was giving them manna day by day. Day by day. Our Heavenly Father says, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. How do you walk uprightly? Christ just told us. You seek preeminently Christ and His righteousness. God will provide it. All things are yours. Remember that? All things are yours. He said things present, things to come, this world, life, death, all are yours. And you're Christ's. And Christ is God's. Earthly homes and riches and all the things we accumulate, the moment you die, you're going to be back at zero. Just like everybody else. Then will these things matter at all? Then will they matter at all? But you see, we have an earthly house. I mean, a heavenly house that never perishes, it never diminishes in any way. It's eternal in the heavens. That's what His people have. When you survey all these unsearchable eternal riches, thank God for His unspeakable gift. He's given us all this in His Son. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. Now, secondly, I want to just speak just a second on this exhortation to us. He says this is for saints. This is for their needs. A saint is somebody that God the Father sanctified before the world was made. By divine election. A saint, someone that Christ has perfected forever by His one offering. A saint is one who's been sanctified by the Spirit of God in regeneration. Our Father's will is to have His children take care of His saints. To take care of their needs. Now there's no sanctified child of God, you, me, or anybody else, who can boast in distributing to the necessities of a brother or sister. We can't boast in it. Because all of this is of grace. Everything. Listen to Acts 4:33. Stop speaking of the early church. It says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, because as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of them that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Look at back at 2 Corinthians again, and look at chapter 9, and listen to this. 2 Corinthians 9. And look at verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses of the Scripture. Listen, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Look at verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. He's enriched, he'll enrich you in all things to all liberality, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. It all goes back to God's glory. He gives everything you need in this process of distributing to saints and of being hospitable. He gives everything, the heart to do it. He gives the substance to do it. He gives the need to do it. He gives everything to do it. There's nothing that came of us. He gave it all. Remember what David said? Who am I and who is this, your people, that we can give so in such abundance? Everything we're given to you, David said, Lord, it came from your hand. Look there in verse 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 10. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He gives you the heart. He gives you the willingness. He gives you those fruits of righteousness. He increases those too, just like he does the natural gifts he gives. He gives it all. He even gives the grace so that if we're the one in need, he even gives the grace so that you will receive the gift given. We're usually too proud to receive something from our brethren. And he even humbles us and gives us the grace to receive when we have a need. Brethren, if you have a need, don't ever refuse the gift that you get from your brethren. That's a privilege to them. That's a privilege to them. They wouldn't be doing it if God hadn't given them grace to do it. What you can give, and what God says here, this is why we give. This is why it's more blessed to give than to receive. What you can give is thanksgiving to God. Thank God for them. That's more return to a believer than anything. Thank God. Glorify God. He's the one who gets all the glory. Our Father says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely give. The gospel is founded upon giving. Everything about it is upon giving and upon the spirit of giving. Buying and selling are not known in the gospel unless you're buying without money and without price. It's free. It's free. Payments for the law. Gospel is a gift. You get that? Payment. The law required a tax, a tithe, a payment. Gospel is a gift. And everything to do with it is a gift. God gives freely to us, we give freely to his people. That's why God loves a cheerful giver. If a man's not a cheerful giver, he's out of kilter with the whole economy of the gospel, with the whole economy of grace. Everything's freely given. That's how this gospel is. And our motive is the free grace of Christ to us. The free grace of Christ to us. Listen to 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But all whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have a need and shuts up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You get what he's saying? If I have to help my brother in need and I won't, I must not know that everything I have is a gift to God. He gives everything. So brethren, that's why I'm thankful to God for the heart he's given you. Because everything's from him. Everything. All right, let's stand together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for giving us all things. Thank you for the heart you've given to your people in this place. We're thankful, Lord, that you've made your people cheerful givers. But Lord, it's all because of your unspeakable gift. We behold what you've done for us, and we're debtors. We're debtors to minister to those that you've used to minister to us in spiritual things. What is it if we give to them our carnal things? Lord, help us to be helpers to your older congregations that you're taking home some of the members to be with you and their numbers decrease. Lord, help us to minister to them. They've ministered to us abundantly in spiritual things and temporal. Help us to minister to them. And Lord, use us any way you see fit. You make it clear, you open the door, and use us any way you see fit. First and foremost, to distribute the gospel, but secondly, our carnal things, and to be hospitable with our homes that you've given us. And thank you, Lord, for this unspeakable gift we have in Christ. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.